By the presence.
All members voted this morning. Secretary Close Roll.
The roll shows all senators present this morning.
And we stand for invocation.
Father God, we thank you for the challenge of life. We thank you for the people who make up Alaska. May we keep their trust in us special. We do want the good of every Alaskan. Help us, Father, in the decisions that we must make. We thank you for the challenges that we face. It is only through testing that we gain resiliency. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I move and ask unanimous consent that this prayer be spread in the journal.
On objection, so ordered. Secretary certifies correctness of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 26th, 27th, and 28th legislative days.
Senator
Ray. Mr. President, I move the journals for the 26th, 27th, and 28th legislative days be approved as certified.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me is a former Fairbankson. We lose a lot of good people that way. It's our former planning and zoning director, Scott Burgess, who is now the new director of the Alaska Municipal League. He'll be replacing Jenny Chitwood, who will be joining her husband in Seattle soon. Scott Burgess.
Mr. President, we have today as guests several of the close-up students. This is a session one, and the participants are from Anchorage, Gina Cruz, that's Senator Pettijohn and Senator Fakes District, Kim Hansen from Senator Halford and Senator Kelly, Janet Craig, teacher, and Brenda Flaherty from Senator Sturgeon-Lewski and Senator Rhodey's District, Corinne McDonald and Tina Dickerson from Senator Paul Fisher and Senator Gilman's District, from Nome. We have Gary Gorin, the teacher, Jennifer Summers, Janet Dodemain, and Tyler Johnson, that's from Senator Ferguson. From Kodiak, John Parker, teacher, Renee Barger, Chris Cushman, Francine Gines, and Sherry Perkins, that's Senator Mulcahy. And from Sitka, Wolfram Cuoni, that's a Rotary Exchange student from Switzerland, that's Senator Elias' district. And from Wrangell, we have Deb Calm, teacher, Beth Keegan, and Jesse Cavalli, that's Senator Ziegler's district. And from Yukon Flats, we have John Laughlin, teacher, Mike Meinsanger, and Charlotte Kelly from Senator Sackett's district. Welcome.
Mr. President, I have the pleasure of having two people to introduce this morning from my district. First, a lifetime resident of the Kenai area. He's very local and active in local affairs, particularly in the fisheries. Mr. President, he and I have been political opponents, but we remain close personal friends. Please join me in welcoming Alex Shadour. And my second guest this morning, Mr. President, is a young man who's working in my office in the RSVP program for 2 weeks. He's a junior at Soldotna High School. He's vice president of the junior class. He's also a letterman on the varsity football team. He's not selected to college yet, but his career interests are contract law and communications broadcasting. Please welcome Kirk Bailey.
The messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
The messages from the House?
January 16, dear President Krutula, this letter is to invite the Senate to attend a joint session with the House at 2 p.m. Thursday, February 16, for the purpose of an address by Senator Frank Murkowski. Please confirm acceptance of this invitation at an early opportunity. Sincerely, Joe Hayes, Speaker.
Mr. President, I have moved the Senate accept the House invitation.
That is the only message from the House.
Other communication.
There is a communication dated January 31 from Frank Wheeler, Associate Director, Office of Management and Budget, Division of Management. Dear Senator Curtula, in compliance with the letter of intent for SCS-CS House Bill 313, LNC, Chapter 74, Session Laws 1983, the Division of Management, Office of Management and Budget, has conducted a performance review of the functions of the Alaska Transportation Commission. The findings of that review are hereby submitted. If you have any questions or need further information, please contact me. Copies of this report were also sent to Senator Moss, Chairman of Transportation, and Senator Eliason, Chairman of the Senate Labor Committee. This will be on file. That was the only communication.
The reports are standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill number 322, Alaska Agricultural Loan Board, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring. Senator Sturgalewski, Mulcahy, Paul Fisher, and Ziegler. Senator Vic Fisher signed no recommendation. SB 322 has a further referral to finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered CS House Bill number 84, Finn, Smoking in Public Places and Vehicles, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute, Hess. Do pass with a letter of intent. Signed, Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Paul Fisher, Moss, Hofford, and Vic Fisher. House Bill 84 has a further referral to State Affairs.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee letter of intent be spread in the Journal Supplement.
The Rules Committee considers Senate Bill number 349, Recreational Activities in State Parks, and recommends that it be placed on the February 6th calendar. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Ray, and Ferguson. This is on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports. There are no special committee reports.
No resolutions for introduction. At this time, I'd like to give...
Senate Joint Resolution number 36 by Senator Josephson relating to the proposal by Congress of an amendment to the United States Constitution to permit states to favor certain residents of the states.
State Affairs Judiciary.
That is the only new resolution.
There are bills for introduction, first reading, and reference.
Senate Bill number 406 by Senator Josephson, an act relating to discriminatory harassment.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill number 407 by Senator Fahrenkamp, an act relating to the prevention and abatement of water pollution.
Resources.
Senate Bill number 408 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making supplemental appropriations to the Alaska court system and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary Finance.
Senate Bill number 409 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making miscellaneous supplemental appropriations and transfers among appropriations and providing for a March 15, 1984 effective date.
This bill could affect every standing committee. The primary recipients of these exchanges, I think, is Health, Education, Social Services. So, do it. Hess and Finance.
Senate Bill number 410 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act repealing certain accounts, funds, and dedications of state revenue and providing for an effective date.
A lot of law involved, Judiciary, Finance, Constitution.
Senate Bill number 411 by Senator Curtula, an act relating to preferential use of Alaska agricultural products.
Resources and Finance.
Those are the new bills, Mr. President.
Takes us to the daily calendar.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir. We'll be at ease, Senator. Please come to order. We're down to the daily calendar. Secretary reads Senate Bill 349 by title and author.
Senate Bill number 349 by Senators Fakes, Curtula, Bennett, Hofford, and Pettyjohn, an act relating to recreational activities in state parks. The Resources Committee considered this bill and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Eliason, Sturgalewski, Vic Fisher, and Ziegler.
Are there amendments?
There is an amendment number one by Senator Rohde, which I think is being printed. Page 1, line 15, add, in adopting regulations under A6 of this section, the department shall not restrict the use of firearms in those parks in which hunting is permitted.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move amendment number one, and perhaps we stand at ease until all members have a copy of the amendment.
We'll be at ease while amendments distributed. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, in the brief explanation of the amendment which I've offered, presently there are parks which are open to hunting. However, the use of firearms is prohibited in those parks. I don't know how you hunt unless you use perhaps a spear or a rock. I think that we need to remedy that situation. This legislation, rather this amendment, would remedy that situation. I would recommend it to the body.
Senator Victor Fisher.
Would this mean that if we pass this amendment on top of the bill that we have before us, that one could hunt llamas in state parks?
Mr. President, through the chair.
Senator Rohde, if you
no,
wish to
llamas
respond.
Are not a wild animal in the state of Alaska. Oh.
Not according
Smoothest
to the state
chairperson.
Okay. Mr. President, I would object to this amendment. I don't think it's appropriate for this bill. This bill is an animal bill. All it does is when regulations are promulgated by the department, these people have to be called and notified that regulations or change in procedures will be occurring. It gives them some legitimacy. It has nothing to do with hunting. It has nothing to do with bows and arrows. It has nothing to do with sticks and stones. It's merely adds to Chapter 20 of the Department of Natural Resources that language that would allow these people to be notified if there's changes of regulations. The reason this occurred was that in the last 11 years, the state park director has changed 7 times. With those 7 directors and personnel, the regulations have changed also, and these folks haven't been notified. All they want is a little legitimacy. I think the firearm issue is a major issue. I think there's some concern out there, but I don't think this is the bill to tag this particular amendment to it.
Senator Farrington.
I would like to agree with the former speaker. We have had in Resources Committee, considering these parks, the firearm question come up many times. We have provisions in the Marine Park Bill concerning that, and it's a major issue that is tied to a bill that means to have opening up for particularly those people who are horseback riders in the bill. I would request that there are other bills in the works that would be just appropriate for this particular rewrite of 38, some of the others, and I would request that the maker of the amendment withdraw it.
Senator Sackett?
I'd like to agree with the previous speakers. May we have an adhesive?
We'll be adhesive. Senator Ray, you wish the floor?
Just on the amendment, Mr. President, somebody brought up the fact of bow and arrows, I believe, and don't we restrict certain parks, hunting in certain parks, just to bow and arrows? And if you adopt this, that means that you're opening up those areas in which they use bow and arrows to firearms also. And I don't think that's exactly what we want. So I would think that unless that's what the maker of the amendment wants, I think the amendment is flawed in that respect.
Senator Sackett wishes the floor.
I thought they used stones and spears. I didn't hear anything about bow and arrows. In any event, one more little at ease, please.
We'll be at ease. Senate, please come back to order. Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think Senator Rohde, a distinguished colleague from Anchorage, has brought up a very good point, which is germane to this bill. The fact of the matter is, we do have a small number of people in our state administration who are anti-gun and anti-hunting, and they have inroaded the park system of the state and have caused many problems with us. One of my constituents last year lost a black bear hide purely on a boundary dispute, which later it turned out he'd shot the bear outside the state park. These sort of things are going on, and I think they are germane to the legislature and various bills that are before us. I think there is a problem here, and the body, maybe this is not the appropriate document, but I think we should address it. There are people who are anti-gun, anti-hunting, and they're doing their best within the administration to cause dissension amongst our constituents.
Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, in my opinion, the amendment, though, would not encourage hunting. In fact, it might have the opposite effect, because once hunting is permitted anywhere in the park, the department could not restrict the use of firearms anywhere in the park. So it would no longer be possible to designate a hunting zone or area and a non-hunting zone or area, or make any reasonable restriction between hunting and non-hunting uses. And in that situation, the department's attitude, given what the senator from Fairbanks has just said, might be to restrict hunting everywhere so that they do not have to deal with the provisions of the amendment. So I do not regard this as a pro-hunting amendment, although its intention may have been that. In effect, I think the effect would be the opposite.
Senator Halperin.
Thank you, Mr. President. In last year's legislation on marine parks, what we did is we allowed the Commissioner of Natural Resources to regulate in parks the use of firearms for public safety purposes. I think that's the key, and that should be the compromise. I think it's legitimate for parks to protect a camping area, a parking area, places like that from the discharge of firearms. Well, it's not legitimate for the Division of Parks to be in conflict with the Board of Game and the Board of Fish, the regulatory bodies that regulate the resources, should be regulated by their proper boards, not by the land managing agency. I do think an amendment to the amendment could make it match the compromise reached last year on marine parks. However, I think it might be wiser to hold the bill over and do it tomorrow than today.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the bill and the amendment be held over until tomorrow to work on this problem.
Objection. Bill be held in second reading. Takes us to the citation calendar.
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
May we revert to the introduction of guests?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me is a constituent and a longtime friend of many of ours, so well-known in political circles as well as fishing circles, Mr. Jack McClain.
We welcome you here this morning, Jack. Are there citations?
A citation honoring Irene Mead by Representatives Schultz and Cato and Senator Moss. Citation honoring Chugiak High Mustangs, 4A Girls Basketball Champions by Representatives Phillips, Liska, Furness, Szymanski, and Senators Hallford and Kelly. Honoring Glen Allen Pantherettes by Representative Schultz and Senator Moss.
Senator Ray.
No additions, Mr. President. I would move the citation calendar to be approved as read.
Without objection, citation calendar has been approved. Takes us to unfinished business. You have the floor, Senator Fisher.
Mr. President, I would like to move waive State Affairs Committee referral of H.J.R. 56 and H.B. 84.
H.J.R. 56 has assigned Resources Committee referral. The Chairman has discussed this. Without objection, so ordered. Senator Gilman has the floor.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 268, an act relating to the sale of Prudhoe Bay Royalty Oil by the State of Alaska to the Soro Alaska Petroleum Company, and Senate Bill 285, an act relating to the sale of Cook Inlet Royalty Oil by the State of Alaska to Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company, be returned to the Resources Committee.
The committee is now in finance, is it not? They're in finance. Senator Sackett, you wish to comment?
We'll
be at ease. Senator Sackett, wish the floor.
I had the floor, I think, when I asked for an at ease. So if I
have the floor, Senator.
What he's attempting to do is to pull a bill out of Community and Regional Affairs Committee, of which Senator Ferguson is a member, and I oppose that, and I think all people in this party do.
Senator Gilman, you have the floor.
Mr. President, I consider this to be a legitimate motion. I believe I'm in my legislative prerogatives to make the motion, and I don't intend to withdraw it. If I can speak to my motion, sir.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, the governor did not choose to introduce new bills on the recently renegotiated oil contracts. Senate Bill 268 and Senate Bill 285 are now in the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. They reported out of Senate Resources on May 19, 1983, with a vote of 5, do pass, and 1 no recommendation. The chairman of the CRA committee had requested the bills be referred to that committee because, quote, of important community considerations, unquote. The bills had no hearings in that committee, even though I asked for those hearings in a formal letter and verbally on this floor. To date, I have received no response to that request. Mr. President, the Senate Resources Committee has the staff and expertise to review and amend these bills to bring them into conformance with the new contract conditions. CRA does not have this expertise. In fact, on this 29th legislative day, this committee hasn't met, although there is a meeting scheduled for tomorrow. This motion is necessary because the approval of these contracts bogged down the House when a few minor questions were raised about technical parts of the contracts. I believe it behooves the Senate to start hearings on these contracts immediately if we are going to meet the laudable goal of a 120-day session set out by leadership earlier this year. These contracts are very important to this entire state, particularly to Anchorage, South Central, and the Rail Belt area, where over 70% of the population reside. These contracts are not just a one-district issue. While residents of Southeast Alaska and the bush still pay high prices to have petroleum products barged in from outside, the 230,000 people who live in Anchorage have seen gasoline prices decline relative to the lower 48 in recent years. According to a January 6th survey of more than 18,000 gas stations conducted by the Lundberg Letter, the price of self-serve gasoline in Anchorage was 0.8% to 2.3% higher than the national average. That is a substantial decrease from 1972, when Anchorage motorists paid 20% more for gasoline than drivers elsewhere in the country. On January 6, 1984, Anchorage motorists paid $1.08.7 for self-serve regular and $1.18.1 for self-serve unleaded. Drivers nationwide paid 1.078 cents and 1.15.46 cents. Self-serve regular gasoline costs less at the pump in Anchorage than it did in Seattle, Spokane, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, El Paso, and 13 other cities. Self-serve unleaded gasoline costs less than in Las Vegas, Reno, Sacramento, Chicago, and 11 other cities. January 1972, prices didn't compare so favorably. Anchorage motorists paid substantially more per gallon than drivers in Seattle, Spokane, San Francisco, and the other cities mentioned above. At the time, Tesoro had just started blending gasoline from components barged in from out of state. That gasoline sold in Anchorage for 43.9 cents a gallon, 7.4 cents above the national average. Tesoro didn't begin refining gasoline at its North Kenai plant until 1975. The company now supplies regular and unleaded gasoline to all of the major retailers in South Central Alaska. Although the cost of living in Anchorage is not climbing as rapidly as it is across the nation, prices here are generally higher than elsewhere in the country. This is reflected in the non-taxable 25% cost of living allowance paid federal employees in Alaska. It's also seen in high wages paid Alaskans. And the Anchorage secretary earns 43% more than the national average. A skilled laborer, carpenter, electrician, welder earns 60% more. The price of a half gallon of whole milk is 40% higher than the national average. Eggs are 19.9%, flour 27.9%, and fresh chicken is 21.9% higher. There is no doubt that the availability of in-state refineries producing a stable supply of competitive gasoline and other fuels has a tremendous amount to do with leveling these prices. Mr. President, I know there isn't a senator in this body that doesn't truly have a statewide perspective on major issues. There isn't one of us who won't rise above political considerations for the good of this state. Returning these bills to the Resources Committee for the necessary technical work is the right thing to do. You know it. I know it. The people of the state of Alaska know it. I ask for unanimous consent.
Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I don't blame the senator from Kenai for getting up and giving his eloquent speech. But there are some problems with the contracts in way of $16 million subsidy a year for the oil to be sold to Tesoro and Chevron. I believe that the House is doing the best they can with those bills, and I feel it's important that we wait till the House decides what they're going to do, because if we muddy the thing with passing a bill on this side and give them to the House, we'll create more problems. Thank you.
Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, I have no objection to any person getting up and giving their opinions, and that is his right to do that. However, I object very strongly to the implication that he made with regard to the chairman of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee and the fact that the statement was made that his staff does not have the expertise. I don't think that's right to be said on this floor, and I think he owes an apology to that chairman.
Is there further debate? Mr. Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Regardless of the technicalities and where they're dealt with in the contracts, I think it's important to note that as long as we don't do anything on the contracts, if we assume the premium that's now under negotiation but at about 35 cents a barrel, that means that the cost of not doing anything with the contracts is $15,600 per day in terms of lost premium. If there is no contracts, the oil is taken in kind without any premium.
floor, Senator Sackett.
Today I refuse to get into the debate with regard to those contracts because they are not before the Finance Committee, but we are all aware that the statement made by the senator from Anchorage is not entirely true because there are other requests before the Department of Natural Resources at this present time which make the premium and the subsidy that we have to Tesoro look like a bucket that we'll never see again. So there's a lot of, there are many parts to this is what I'm saying. And by just taking things out of context or just saying a small part of it is not the total picture. At some point in time, we will have that before us. I'm not prepared right now, and we're not prepared to discuss it totally either. But I'm telling you as senators that just don't listen to one small part of it because there's a total picture here. And when we get that, when we get it through hearings, we'll find out what it is, and we'll find out how incorrect some of these decisions, statements are right now.
Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, this all puzzles me just because within the last week, representatives of Tesoro were in the halls, as we all know. Former Senator Groh, a former colleague of mine, and Catherine West, and others from Tesoro were here, and we actually had a conversation about this, and I was in a colloquy with them saying, you don't come and ask me what about the Senate action on this, and they said, we'll get to you at the right time. Don't worry about it, because we're concentrating on the House of Representatives now. And perhaps their strategy is the wrong strategy, but they are concentrating their actions on the other end of this floor, and given from what I read in the newspapers, that's probably the appropriate thing to do. And Senator Ferguson has indicated that, in his judgment, for the Senate to take action while those issues are being resolved at the House, where the people advocating this and the governor are concentrating their efforts, would not be constructive and would not be useful. And I will follow that recommendation of the senator whose committee now has those measures here. And until someone from the industry comes to me and says that Senator Ferguson is wrong and tells me that the strategy of the advocates has changed, I don't think that I, as an individual senator, should be compelled to consider this matter, which raises the procedure of bringing a bill out of committee.
Senator Gilman, has the floor.
Mr. President, I'm glad that I did what I've done, because this is the most intelligent conversation that we've had in this body about those contracts. And it would seem to me like, and I'm not trying to put words in the chairman of the Finance Committee's mouth, but I believe he said that he had a commitment to hold hearings on these bills when it came to the Senate. And if I am mistaken, I hope somebody corrects me. I move and ask unanimous consent to withdraw my motion.
Objection. Thank you, Senator Gilman.
Just a second.
You have the floor, Senator.
To set the record straight, I did not say that. And I don't like people putting words in my mouth. What I said, that there will be hearings, and I assume that there will be hearings.
Senator Gilman, does your motion still stand? I do not wish to.
Mr. President, I replace my motion.
We'll be at ease.
President, I also want to note that the thrust of the argument from the senator from the Kenai Peninsula is not that these bills are ready to come to the floor now. It is, in fact, he has indicated that the bills need change or rework and more work and require expertise. His thesis is not that the Senate has delayed a vote on proper contracts that are before the, that are properly before the Senate in the best interest of the public. His thesis is that there is a recognized need to do reworking of these measures. Then the question becomes, Mr. President, whether his analysis that the only place where that reworking can be done is the Resources Committee is better than the analysis that says that the Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is as well situated as any place else to do the necessary reworking. And given what has been said about the House of Representatives, I cannot concur that the motion should be passed in order to place this in another committee. I want to make that clear because some may choose to interpret this vote as a vote for or against the contracts, and I do want to emphasize that even the maker of the motion says that the contracts require a revision or at least further study by experts.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, as chairman of the Resources Committee, I'd like the body to know that we are not being lax in our job. We are, at this time, keeping very close watch on the contracts in the House. We're also doing our own work in-house, and we will be working very closely with the chairman of the other committee. So we are doing our work, even though it's not in hearings at present time.
I'll hear you on your point of order, Senator.
Am I correct? There is no motion before us. The senator withdrew the motion.
No, the senator replaced it. He replaced it. I asked him if, since he had a contingency-type motion that we had recognized, I asked him to replace it. Senator A?
Mr. President, it seems that it would be a reasonable assumption that this is a life or death situation right now. We are all aware of what the problems are in the House, and I think that when those are taken care of, that the Senate will act in an expeditious manner on these contracts, and therefore, rather than the risk of setting a precedent to withdraw bills from committee, I would ask the body to vote no.
Senator Gilman, you are seeking the floor.
Well, Mr. President, I did not, in these remarks, mean to cast aspersions on any individual staff member, and if I have done so, I apologize. I did not mean to cast aspersions on any individual senator, and if they take it that way, I apologize. I particularly did not want to cast aspersions on the Resources Committee. I have the greatest respect for the chairman and her staff. Mr. President, I feel this is an important issue. It has not been addressed in the Senate. It has been here for a year and a half, well, over a year. And if we're going to move this thing through, we better get with it.
You have the floor, Senator Sackett.
Just wanted to add an addendum to that I have the highest regard for the chairman of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee also, and also for his staff. And that was not mentioned by the last speaker.
Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. President.
I recognize Senator Fisher unless he wishes to sit down, Senator Gilman. I'm sorry. Senator
Mr.
Fisher.
President, I'm one of the innocent bystanders who's been listening to this going on. It sounds as if we're getting close to voting on something that the maker of the motion, I thought, asked to withdraw. I'm not sure exactly
what. No, Senator Fisher, he replaced it. I suggested that he had a contingency in his motion, and perhaps he might wish to replace it or not, and he chose to replace it. So it's formally before us.
We have the motion before us.
The motion is to move from one committee to another, and Senator Gilman does have the floor.
Mr. President, so that no one misunderstands, I did say that there was no aspersions on any senator. That includes any chairman of any committee. I have the highest regard for everybody that sits in this body. And to indicate that I don't, I think, is unfair.
Could we stand at ease for a moment? Could I see you, Senator? Senator, please come back to order. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move that the discharge motion be placed upon the table.
It's not debatable. The question is, shall the motion be tabled? Objection is noted. There's a roll call. Question is, shall this motion be tabled at this time? You may proceed, vote. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Same here, which changes or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 13 yeas, 7 nays.
Motion is presently tabled. Is there further unfinished business? Are there committee meetings? Are there announcements of committee meetings this morning? Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee would ask unanimous consent that we waive the 5-day rule so that on Wednesday, February 8th at 9 a.m., we can take up SB 403, an act making special appropriation for capital projects. I'd ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, this 5-day rule.
Also, the Finance Subcommittee, Department of Natural Resources operating budget, will be taking testimony. It'll be a joint hearing of the House and the Senate at 8:30 a.m. on Tuesday the 7th. It'll be in the House Finance Chambers.
Resources Chairperson.
Mr. President, today at 3 o'clock, joint Senate and House Resources Committee will be meeting in the House Resources Room 118 at Capitol Building for a briefing by the U.S. Forestry Service on the Resource Planning Act. And on Wednesday at 3 in the Belts Room, we'll be to have a briefing by Kelly Ross of the Resource Development Council on Land Management and Planning.
You have the floor, Finance Chairman.
There are numerous subcommittees of the Finance Operating Budget that are meeting throughout the week, and A lot of these have not been announced on the floor. However, if anyone is interested, they're posted both in the Finance Committee and on the bulletin boards throughout the legislature. And they cover every department throughout the state, and they're at various times, starting from 7:30 in the morning on.
You have the floor, Senator Joseph.
President, the HES Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today in the Fletcherovich Room, taking up legislation concerning victims of sexual abuse.
Rules, Chairperson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. To reiterate, Senator Sackett, the Subcommittee on Department of Health and Social Services will be continuing its work today, 3:30, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. The members have the agenda on their desk, and I'd like that in the journal.
An objection in the supplementary journal. You have the floor, Senator.
Judiciary Committee will meet at 1:30 today, civil rights to police officers.
Are there further announcements of committee meetings? Items under special orders. You have the floor, Senator.
I move and ask unanimous consent to be given special privilege of the floor to discuss SJR 36.
No objection. You have the
floor. Mr. President, introduced today and lying at the desk for possible co-sponsors is SJR 36. It requests that the Congress consider an amendment to the federal Constitution to allow states to operate certain programs on the basis of residency. The programs that would be involved are programs which are not means or needs-based, so that the resolution would not require or permit states to deny, let us say, welfare benefits to new arrivals in the state. But where a state uses only its own money and not federal money, and has programs that the state designs as innovative programs to reward people who have been builders of the state, the amendment would allow for that, and I invite my colleagues to co-sponsor that amendment. Now, the question comes up as to what are the possibilities for ratification of such an amendment. I think the possibilities are realistic, because what we're talking about should appeal to other state legislatures, because what I find is that the court interpretations are more and more straitjacketing legislators all over the country and our ability to provide quality of life programs to be innovative and creative, which is what I think the federal system was designed to have state legislatures do. I really urge my colleagues to co-sponsor the amendment, and I hope the Senate will give it rapid consideration.
Senator Fisher.
Yes, I ask for an excused absence, Mr. President, on the 15th, 16th, and 20th of February.
No objection. What is the purpose? Has there been any
state business, the 15th and 16th, Mr. President, there's the conference in Anchorage on energy. On the 20th, Mr. President, we have a HES meeting in Anchorage with the university.
Will be our purpose, or to propose to the body that the Senate not convene on Friday, I believe that would be the 17th, for your planning. So those people that wish to be out. Senator Ray.
No other business coming before the Senate. I move to adjourn at 10 a.m. Tuesday.
We are adjourned.